Most of those who follow the Shia school of thought are not Shia in the true sense. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "One who claims to follow us with his tongue, but does the opposite to our actions and deeds, is not from among our Shia." So what does it actually take to be a true Shia? Now, if you haven't already watched this video, then you should. And you should watch it before watching this one. The highest level that we discussed in the previous video was the level of the believers, the mu'mineen. Beneath this level was the level of the Muslims. And beneath this level was the level of the likes of the Ahl Kitab, the Christians and Jews, etc. And beneath that was the lowest level of all, the level of kufr and shirk, disbelief and polytheism. Now, it's important to note that one who becomes a mu'min must also have completed all the prerequisites of being a Muslim. So you can't just say, "Oh, I'm a mu'min because I'm doing jihad in Allah's way," if you're not even praying your 5 daily prayers. No, you have to fulfill all the basic duties Islam requires of us first, then you can transcend to the higher level of being a believer. A Muslim may reach his heights by striving to fulfill all those acts which are wajib and refraining from all the major sins. A mu'min perhaps is one who says, "Hey, I'm already fulfilling all those wajib acts. Let me try to do more." So he starts refraining from makruh, the disliked acts, and strives to fulfill the mustahab, recommended acts. So now, what if somebody's born into a household, a family, which is already Muslim and mu'min? Everyone in the family is not only a Muslim, but they're mu'min too. The journey towards Allah is infinitely high, and a person who is born into a Muslim or mu'min household can still upgrade and level up. Above the level of a mu'min is the level of the Shia. The Shia's level is much higher than that of the believers. And the Holy Quran says, وَإِنَّ مِن شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمُ. And surely Ibrahim was from among his Shia. Prophet Ibrahim in the Holy Quran is described as one of the Shia of Prophet Nuh. Now, does this mean that everyone who follows the Shia school of thought is at this high level? No, far from it, in fact. Most of those who are following the Shia school of thought today are just normal Muslims who follow a particular school of thought. And some of them may also be believers, mu'mineen. Someone once came to Imam Hassan alayhi salam and said, "I'm one of your Shia." Imam Hassan alayhi salam replied, "If you are truly obedient to us in our commands and prohibitions, then you are telling the truth. But if not, then do not add to your sins by falsely claiming such a dignified position that you are not worthy of. Do not say, 'I am one of your Shia,' but rather say, 'I am one of your adherents and one of your lovers and an enemy to your enemies.' You are doing good and aiming towards good." At best, most of us can only say, "I aim to be a Shia. I'm trying to be a Shia." Now, think about this. When a person is born into a non-Muslim family, a Christian or a Jew, and they convert or revert to Islam and become a Muslim, they suddenly have all sorts of duties and obligations to adhere to, which they didn't have to adhere to before. The convert has to start fasting in the month of Ramadan. They have to start praying 5 daily prayers. That's 17 rak'ats a day. Well, if a Muslim wishes to level up to a higher stage, well, they're going to now have to do all sorts of duties and obligations which they never had to do before. And similarly, if a mu'min now wishes to level up, they're also going to have to do all sorts of obligations and duties which they never even thought of before. For example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, the Shia are those who, on a daily basis, pray 51 rak'ats of salah. That's all the nafila prayers and salatul layl, the night prayers. So down here, the Muslims are struggling to pray even the 5 daily basic prayers. Up higher though, a mu'min is somebody who at least tries to pray the nafila and the night prayers. Higher still, up here on the level of the Shia, the 50 plus rak'ats a day are considered as wajib. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, verily the Shia of Ali were those who restrained their stomachs and their sexual desires, who struggled and fought intensely, who worked hard for their creator, who hoped for his reward and feared his punishment. If you have such people, then they are the very Shia of Ja'far. Shia of Ja'far? What's going on here? In the same hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is mentioning the Shia of Ja'far and the Shia of Ali. In the Quran it says Ibrahim alayhi salam was the Shia of Nuh. Some might say, why should we be the Shia of Ali? We're the Shia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Alright, well, in some people's minds, these things may be separate. They might be mutually exclusive, but that's not the reality. One who is a Shia of Ali alayhi salam is also a Shia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And one who is a Shia of Ja'far is also a Shia of Ali alayhi salam. One cannot be a Shia of Nuh, but not also be a Shia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It's the concept of wilaya, guys. It's the infinite ladder, the rope of Allah. It's that divine connection system between Allah and His creation. Those who are truly Shia are connected to that system of wilaya. And how do they get there? Through constant struggle. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, my Shia have parched lips and empty stomachs. They are those whose faces disclose asceticism, for they are ascetics by night and lions by day. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. When a non-Muslim becomes a Muslim, think about how difficult it is for them initially. 5 daily prayers, khums, zakat, hajj, fasting for 30 days, I'm gonna die. But Allah makes it easier for them as time passes until eventually it becomes a part of their own essence. Similarly, if you, as a Muslim, wish to reach the higher levels, you should know that initially it ain't gonna be easy. But Allah is going to help you and make it easier until those greater realities, those greater duties and obligations become part of your very essence. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah, Allah will help you and make firm your feet. Not only that, Allah will give you abilities and powers which you never thought you could possess. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, verily our Shia are those who possess 4 eyes, 2 in their head as well as 2 in their heart. Actually, all people are such, except that Allah has opened the eyes of the Shia. But hang on a minute. Surely there can't be a stage higher than that, right? Above the stage of the Shia is... the stage of the awliya Allah.
Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun.
Now surely the friends of Allah, they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. Now don't ask me what the awliya Allah are, or what you need to do to reach the level of the awliya Allah. I don't know. Imam Khomeini and his likes talk about the awliya Allah, their absolute dedication to Allah, their absolute love, their complete surrender to the will of Allah is just so high, it just makes me dizzy. They are Muslim, Mu'min, Shia, and something way, way higher than that. If you thought that the true Shia were few in numbers, just imagine how few awliya Allah there must really be. But hang on a moment. What if somebody is born into a family of awliya Allah? The mom, the dad, they're awliya Allah, the aunties, the uncles, they're all awliya Allah. I don't know. It could happen. But theoretically, is it even possible to go to a higher level after that? Yes, for above the stage of the awliya Allah is the stage of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The Ahlul Bayt, this is the utmost peak. There is no level higher than this level. This is the level of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who is the seal of the prophets and the best of the creation of Allah and the mercy for the world. Salawat. Sometimes when you give the examples of the Ahlul Bayt, people will tell you, oh, don't try and be like them. They're the Ahlul Bayt. You could never be like them. Even though the Quran describes the Prophet as Uswatun Hasana, an excellent example or pattern for us to follow. These people make their status so unattainable that you never even try. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, Salman is from us, the Ahlul Bayt. Salman al-Farsi is perhaps the most perfect example of this. He wasn't even Muslim to begin with, but he climbed. He got to the stage of the Muslims, but he didn't stop there. He kept going until he reached the stage of the believers, the mu'mineen. And then he didn't stop there either. He kept going until he reached the stage of the Shia, and even there he did not stop. He kept climbing and he got to the stage of the awliya Allah. Anybody else would have stopped, but no, Salman al-Farsi kept on striving until he reached the stage of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the highest and greatest stage of humanity. Salman Farsi was not from the blood relatives of the Prophet. He was not even from the Prophet's tribe. Salman Farsi was not even an Arab. Yet he ended up as one of the spiritual family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the true sense, and was named Salman Muhammadi. But it's important to understand that not everybody who is in the Ahlul Bayt is at exactly the same level. And certainly the Prophet is the highest among all of these, and Imam Ali alayhi salam is after him, and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam follow. A person who is born into the household of the Ahlul Bayt is still going to be tested according to the distance they travelled. Imam Kadhim alayhi salam had more than just one child. How many of his sons and daughters do you actually know? Yet a shining personality like Sayyida Ma'asuma of Qum comes to the top. Among all the other daughters of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, this one comes to the surface. Why? Why is her status so great? Is it because she was born into the family of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? Again, it doesn't matter where your starting point is. It's about how high you travel. If she had said, well, I'm born to a Ma'asum Imam, my whole family is the Ahlul Bayt, I'm good, and not striven hard, not tried to ascend, not endured those pains, hardships, and trials and sufferings that you need to endure in order to travel higher and higher, she would never have become the Sayyida Ma'asuma that she is known as today. It's because of the distance that she traveled. Her name was Fatima, yet the Imam alayhi salam named her Al-Ma'asuma, the Immaculate Lady. Imam Ridha alayhi salam said, whoever visits her shrine while knowing and being aware of her high status, the reward for him will be Jannah. Remember, part of the game that Shaytan is playing with us is not only to stop us from reaching our great and lofty potential, but also to stop us from recognizing those who have. So look Shaytan in the face and tell him, game over.